Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversations around sex. It's Alternative August. What does that mean? Well, alternative relationships can mean a lot of things. Essentially, think about anything outside of your traditional monogamous relationships. And, you know, we all get to decide what kind of relationship works for us. For some people, love monogamy. It works for you. And for others, I want you to know there's other options available. It could mean having casual sex outside your committed relationship. Maybe it's, you know, bringing in a third or more partner, whatever you're into. Swinging, could be occasional threesomes, polyamory. Maybe it's dominant, submissive relationship, exploring bisexuality. We're going to be exploring that in some of our podcasts, on our website, and social media. So check all that out. So today's episode, we're going back to two of my really fun, informative interviews about alternative relationships and sexuality. And so much has changed even since I recorded these in 2017. Now, these interviews are from a few years ago, and it's funny, in listening back, so much has even changed since then about the conversations around gender and sexuality. So first, we have Nico Tortorella, and he's a sexually fluid actor, and he's soon to be appearing on Walking Dead, World Beyond, and was on the series Younger. When we recorded this interview, he was with a longtime partner. I believe he still is. They were openly seeing other people, and he talks about his way of practicing polyamory, monogamy, and we also talk about gender and the spectrum of sexuality, what to look for in the first few months of dating, and wow, I really love that one of his favorite things is performing oral sex on a woman. Later in the show, I talked to Jason Ellis, who has since become a really good friend and a colleague at SiriusXM, and he now has a podcast. And when we recorded this one, Jason was recently married and openly dating men and women. And the interesting thing was he'd only recently come out as pansexual. So it was really interesting to hear him opening up. He's got great insights, like how to make sure your relationship stays healthy when you bring in other partners, which talk about radical transparency in a relationship, avoiding drama, because hey, you're going to bring in another partner. You got to learn how to navigate around it and set boundaries and rules, what to look for and not look for in group sex, and that marriage just shouldn't be the end of your sex life. He talks about his MMA routines and training and workouts and also foreplay. Well, we talk a lot about foreplay. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
So you're jerking off, right? Uh-huh. You got some good porn on or something, and you stop right before you're about to come. There's like a quarter of a second that exists in that space. It's all about controlling different muscles, right?
I don't have time to be in like a committed lockdown, living with someone relationship right. Where you're compromising things, like, right?
I love relationships.
I know, right? That's They're like, fun.
Yeah.
But in your brain, you got to prioritize.
You get too giddy. Guys get giddy and they start slamming into one of them and they can't use their hands or their mouth because their penis is busy. And that's a game that you need to learn quick. And you also need to not come.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
I'm very excited to get to my guest right now. I have Nico Tortorella. That's how you say it, right?
Niccolo Luigi Tortorella.
Of course.
Just as Irish as you can get.
Right, exactly. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so I'd read that you're just inspired by the conversations that you were already having with people in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Right?
I was having a lot of conversations about sexuality and gender identity, and that was the focus of the podcast in the beginning. That was like what I was getting into. It's kind of just where my head was circling. As time has gone by, it's definitely shifted. A really natural, beautiful shift. Yeah. It started to shift into this world of spirituality and sense of higher self and next level, which I think is really based in this idea of figuring out who you are and what you want, right?
Right.
And if you're taking that step into your own sexuality or your own gender identity, that is inherently a first step in a spiritual exploration of sorts.
It's true. It's so interesting because I think the journey to figuring out who we are and what we want I think you're never done because I think you're always changing.
Right.
But you think like, oh, I already know who I am. I know who I am. And then you get to the point in life where you're like, oh, you know what? I think I really don't know. And you think it would be easier because you're like, it's me. But there's always different layers to peel back and we're always changing.
Yeah.
So I want to get into your spiritual journey next, but I want to talk about gender and sexuality. Let's start out with how you identify.
Yeah, I am a human being most of the time. I am a cisgender bisexual who explores polyamory.
Okay. So I want to have you break down. We were a lot of the terms that we're talking about today because I think it's the wild, wild west of like gender identity right now. I think it's very confusing to people, including myself sometimes. I'm like, wait, cis, I got to stop and think. So you're born as a man.
Cisgender male.
Male.
Bisexual, right. Yeah.
Okay, bisexual.
I didn't say male in there.
But some people don't want to be identified as either,
right,
male or female.
Yeah, I mean, there's what, 72 different gender options on Facebook right now?
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't want to be identified as either or, there are a plethora of words that you can choose from. Agender, gender nonconforming, gender non-binary. The list is...
And do you know do you understand all of them?
I don't understand all of them. And as interested as I am in gender identity, I am also... not attached to the idea of like having definition for each gender personally. If I meet somebody and they identify as agender, right? And I'm not sure what agender means, that's okay. Like I want to hear it from the person that actually identifies as agender, you know?
With men though, as much as you're with...
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a pretty even split.
Okay.
I think for, I don't know, the 9 years that I was really drinking, there were a lot of relationships with men and women that like seem really foggy to me,
right?
That like, I don't think I was treating myself well, so I wasn't treating anyone in my life well. I think that I'm a firm believer that you will love other people the same way that you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like wasn't really loving myself that much. And the second I got sober, I started taking my life seriously and like started taking relationships seriously too, right? Kind of.
Right. To the best of your ability. You have a mission. You're like doing your art. You're doing your work.
Totally.
You're like, you don't, probably don't have time to be in like a committed lockdown, living with someone relationship where you're compromising things. Like, right?
I love relationships.
I know, right? That's they're
like,
fun.
They're totally fun. And I love starting relationships and like falling in love with somebody and getting to know somebody. And
that's the best part. We call it the honeymoon phase.
The honeymoon phase, yeah. I love a honeymoon phase. And I've had like a good handful of like 4, 5, 6 month relationships that fizzle out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
With men and women.
I've made a career on that.
Have you?
For years, I was like, why can't we just keep doing this? Right. It's like you always get to eat the frosting, mm-hmm. dessert all the time.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I've hurt a lot of people, you know?
And right, right.
This sounds annoying, and I've talked about this before, but I've never been broken up with. I've never been the one that is like destroyed. I've destroyed myself a couple times in it. Yeah, I've like left this trail, and that doesn't feel good.
Right.
And I think that at the end of the day, I haven't necessarily treated the people in my life as good as I could.
Right.
But I'm trying to be better.
You're learning. Right? And I think that where that might come in is, and I did the same thing, I'm telling you. I left so many, I never have been broken up with. I'm trying to think if I have now. Now it's a little different but back I'd say I was a serial monogamist, but that would happen and I would break up with them. I think I was, intimacy issues. There's a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But also I think it comes down to communicating early on, like, this is amazing. I love this, but I'm seeing other people. But when you're under that spell, the honeymoon, it's mm-hmm. amazing. They're like, yeah, I hear your words. Right. But oh my God, the sex is explosive and looking into your eyes and I can't imagine this is ever going to...
But also, I have a podcast now, right? Where that people can go and listen to all of these stories of different people that I've dated, right?
Yeah.
And that is really something that I'm struggling with these days.
Oh yeah, do you want to... Like, I've been doing this for 12 years, so yeah, I get it. I'm like, oh my God, I've had guys call me and be like, you went on another date last weekend?
Yeah, like I got a phone call last week that was like, maybe I shouldn't listen to this podcast. Maybe I should just like really get to know you face to face instead of listening to the podcast.
I tell people not, guys not to. Like when I've met people recently and they're like, oh, we talk on the phone or however we meet, they're like, oh, I'm going to go listen. I'm like, but then I'm afraid if I say, please don't, then they're absolutely going to.
Well, the thing is like, it depends on what episode they're listening to.
Exactly.
Right?
They're all different.
Yeah.
Right.
And like when I recorded it.
Right.
Because I'm changing so fast, right? I'm a different person than I was last week.
I know. Exactly.
So like I may have said some shit like a few months ago that like I don't necessarily totally stand by right now.
Exactly.
But it's out in the world and they listen to it and it programs the person that I'm dating.
You can just tell them it's your art and that's what you do and it's like performance art and in a way you'd love them to get to know you. Right. One-on-one and not to listen. But they're still going to do it. But,
yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break.
Go ahead.
We're going to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you, everyone, for supporting our sponsors. I gave you a little quick glimpse, Nico, at some of the prizes you'll be going on with. but you guys, seriously, thanks for supporting them, keeping the show free. We love you all. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So So where were we? Oh, dating. Right.
Yes.
It's hard with the podcast. People always say to me, like, are guys intimidated to date you, or are people intimidated because of what you're saying, or you're the expert? It's like, you know what? I could think about all those things, or maybe they're just dating me for another reason because they think I'll teach them something, you know, yeah, or who knows. But I think I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I would know once I met them what their intentions were. And then I realized I'm even taking more time than I would have in the past, maybe, like just jumping in bed with someone. Not that I wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying, I feel like I'm a better, like I can kind of tell their intentions, but it's still going to happen because it's all out there.
Totally. And like I'm talking about being polyamorous all over the place right now too, you know? And like, I think I realized that the people coming into my life either see that in one way or another. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine somebody that's coming into my life like doesn't fucking Google me.
Well, if you Google you, yeah. Okay, so here's all your articles right here, right? Let me, you guys, and you guys gotta Google them right now because you gotta check them out. It's like, younger star reveals he's sexually fluid. This is, okay, here's another title. This is what a queer family looks like.
Well, yeah, well, that's a really important one, that one. Because Bethany and I are on the cover of the app.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece.
We're the first ever male-female couple to ever be on the cover of The Advocate since it started, which is wild.
No, that's amazing.
But I mean, we got a lot of shit for that cover.
From the community. Yeah, I get
we're two white people who look and pass as a heterosexual couple who are talking about being queer. It's a problem for a lot of people.
Right, it is. But I love that you're breaking down all these barriers. Yeah. I really do. So mostly for you right now, it's not like you're so concerned. You know, other people, you have to define maybe what you're into to other people. But for you now with relationships, it's really more about being polyamorous. And how would you define, like, your primary partner, I guess, would be Bethany.
Bethany, yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And so...
And we only, like, we've had sex twice in the last, like, 2 years.
Okay.
You know, so we're, like, not really sleeping together all the time.
Right. So you're more like, what do they call it now? Single poly? Or, like, poly single when you're single, but you're dating a lot of people.
Well, I'm not even dating a lot of people. I'm actually, like...
Or sex. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, no. To be honest with you, I'm actually pretty monogamous in my idea of polyamory. Like,
explain
I will...
Explain that one.
Yeah.
Monogamy, polyamory. Yeah. Okay.
I will meet somebody new and I will give like most or all of myself to that new person from the get-go to like really get to know that person. And I think, especially on a physical level, I like can't have sex with more than one person at a time, or I haven't been able to in the past. I like, if I'm sharing with somebody, that is what I'm working on right now.
Right.
And that like, I'm giving so much of myself to it that there's not actual space to like sleep with him on Thursday night, sleep with her on Friday night. Like I just can't do it.
I get it. Cause that's the thing about polyamory is that there are a lot of people I know in that world. They're like, oh yeah, it literally is Monday nights with this person, Thursday nights with this person.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you get to define it.
But for you, it's more like 4 to 6 months with this person, 4 to 6 months with the next person.
But yeah. And like, if you build the stable groundwork with a new person in your life, and then you decide to like open it up and start seeing other people, I think that can be beautiful.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can like jump into a new relationship and be like, yeah, we're both going to sleep with other people for the next couple months and like, good luck.
I have the same issue. So that's what I've always been kind of considering. I guess I have been, I don't really label it, but polyamorous in my past. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe now I'm dating and sleeping with people. So see, there you go. Now I'm going to get in trouble. Like, oh, yeah, I was just sleeping. But I think that, that it is... But when I meet someone and I actually like them, it is hard for me to be like, wait, I can't help it. I get attached. I'm like, I think that you do need to build that foundation first and then be like, okay, maybe we should open it up. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, then you're just, which is fine as well, you're just sleeping with several different people, but you're not going to go any deeper with somebody, I think, if that's what's happening. It's harder, at least for me, to not have that intimacy.
But maybe like that is what I should do, actually. Like maybe I don't need to get that deep.
I know.
In the beginning.
That's such an intensity that you have, right?
Yeah.
But well, that's what I was going to ask you. So, right. Are you doing it because it helps you feel safer?
Safe.
You like, you know, you want them to make sure they really like you and get you. You want to feel understood.
I want to hold somebody's hand and like have fireworks explode, right? And like that doesn't happen unless you know that person.
Right. Well, we know them how, like where they grew up and then their mom's name?
No, like intimately know that person.
Right, okay.
Energetically, like share on a level that I think can only happen when you give yourself totally to that person for a certain amount of time.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but I've also had experiences, and again, this is not for everybody, where I can get really close with someone quickly. Like I'm not like a bullshit person, so I think I'm pretty much the same wherever I go. Like if you talk to me, on this podcast, or we met out on the street. Like, I'm pretty much, I have no secrets. You guys know everything. I can connect with people like really pretty easily.
I can tell.
And yeah, I'm like, oh my God. So I feel like I can kind of go there. A lot of people interpret that as, wow, this could be something where I'm like, not that I don't feel with everybody.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do people fall in love with you really fast? More than you fall in love with them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's historically is what's happened.
Me too.
Yeah, same with you. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And that feels good though too, right?
It feels great.
Right.
Yes, it feels great until it doesn't. Until you feel like you're fucking drowning, mm-hmm. right? And what I'm really working on right now is understanding how much love and affection I can actually receive, not necessarily how much love and affection I can give.
Right.
And I think that's been my struggle recently.
Is it easier for you to give it or to receive it?
Well, what are we talking about here?
I don't know anything.
No. Yeah, I think it's much easier for me to give than it is for to receive anything.
Okay.
Anything.
Right. But you're saying you're not seeing several of them at once. So this is more like a few months and a few months a few months. And then they're all like, well, where are you going now?
I mean,
but a few weeks. And then how do you?
You know, and like you meet the people that are like, that say they love the same type of way that you do or say that like this freedom exists. And then you realize that maybe it doesn't.
Right. Or they'll say anything to get to like, oh yeah, I want to be polyamorous. Or I want to be open. Right. Or I'm cool. Does jealousy come up for you a lot?
No, I'm the least jealous person you'll ever meet.
Right.
Like I have no problem dating somebody and them sleeping with other people.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Never. But what about the people that are in love with you? Do they get jealous?
Oh yeah.
Right. That's the problem, right? They get possessive and jealous.
Right.
Like I used to have this thing with men. They'd be like, oh yeah, I love that you're so independent and free. And then eventually they would say something to the effect of, oh, I love that you're so out there, but I really just want to put you in this box.
Right.
Or let me just put you in my pocket.
Yeah.
There's a million different ways I've heard that. They want to own it and keep it for themselves. So what they're so attracted to in you, they actually just want to own it.
What
lock
I think
it down.
It is, I think
clip
that
your wings.
You and I both share this like same light, right? And I think that people are attracted to that light. But once they realize that the light is ours, and it's just there for them to stand in, to not take, we immediately become the asshole.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. You're right. That is what happens. Well, look how self-aware you are. This is happening.
I mean, I think this is the next step, right?
Well, it sounds like it.
My path now, is understanding all this.
Yeah, exactly. And then being really honest. See, I don't think that I was as honest with people earlier on. I never felt that monogamy made sense to me. Mm. Like I was in college. And I was like, I'll do it because there was really no other options on the table.
Right.
But then I always felt like I struggled with it.
And you're also a woman too. So it's like, it's a
and
totally
so many
different
right,
space
exactly.
for you.
It is. And so, but now I think this is great that you're shedding light on it. It's like people don't have a lot of great role models of what it means to be bisexual and to be open in the world and to be a man who's bisexual.
Right.
Like people just, they just like, oh, you're just gay. It was funny. I was listening to your Sheila Nevins podcast, which I love Sheila. I used to be a documentary filmmaker before I was, before I did Sex with Emily,
nice.
And I was such a Sheila Nevins fan. Like,
for sure.
She was like the queen. She still is. You're like, I just want Sheila Nevins to meet with her.
She ripped me apart.
She was so funny. She's like, honey, you're not bisexual.
You're gay.
Are you seeing a psychiatrist? Like, she was hilarious. So you're really in this place right now.
Well, look, I think that at the end of the day, we only believe what we see. And we've seen predominantly one story since the beginning of time, you know, and it is a white man and a white woman with kids.
Right, exactly.
That's it. That's the only thing we've seen. And now in the last like 50 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, we're seeing all these other stories. And
exactly.
In the last 10, 20 years, now with social media, we're seeing all the stories and we're starting to believe that more things are real.
Which is what I love.
Right.
It's not possible. Alternative relationships,
yes.
Polyamory.
Lifestyles. For me, it's all about normalizing the quote unquote abnormal.
Right. So let's talk about sex for a minute.
Let's talk about
sex. Just like
sex.
We did. That's how we met, being full circle to our panel. I don't know. Like, how has it changed for you?
Yeah, sex
more
was like a lot scarier once I got sober.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because I mean, I was so used to like going out, getting wasted and bring somebody home.
Right.
Not like random people, but like having drunk sex. Yeah, and it just made things easier or a lot harder because you just couldn't get it up when you were blacked out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, sex has become a lot more sacred since my sobriety.
Okay.
I'm really starting this exploration of my own sexuality and acts of sex to better understand how I can reach higher levels of it.
Do you mean more energetically, using breath?
Yeah, having more intense sex. opening my mind to other possibilities of what sex can be and what sex can look like and what sex can feel like.
Can you describe one of those experiences that you've had lately where it was like, this is a different experience? I want everyone to have expansive sex lives, to not be set in the, I know how he gets off, she gets off. That's what we do. We fall asleep. It's like, no, there's so many ways to have sex and to enjoy it, and our bodies have an unlimited capacity for pleasure. Mm. And I think we don't even tap into it.
Yeah.
Like they say, use 10% of your brain. I don't even think that we understand our sexual capacity either, like our bodies, what we're capable of. So
yeah, I mean, for men, right, prostate play, I think that is like something that I'm starting to understand more what that actually means and like how to achieve next level orgasms from prostate play, right? And edging.
Yeah.
So you're jerking off, right? Uh-huh. You got some good porn on or something and you stop right before you're about to come, okay? And let it sit for a second. And it's hard to stop right before you're about to come. Okay, there's like a quarter of a second that exists in that space. And you got to let it breathe for a second, right? Not touch it, because if you touch it, it's going to go. And kind of start back again slow and get back up to that point and see how many times in a row you can go and do that before you come. And it's all about controlling different muscles, right? And the longer you wait, the better the orgasm will be.
Right.
And the more you will come too.
Right.
Like you're just building up this like shot.
Right. And it's energy.
Just, totally. And just like actual cum itself.
Guys love that. A lot of cum. Just shoot across the room.
So like, much cum. I was just going to say, and you can do it with other people too.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's so fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Female edging? That's a thing?
Yeah. It kind of is a thing. Yeah, definitely. It is a thing. What do we call it for women? I mean, like it's not really edging, but it's more like delaying your, I think it's the same thing as building up your energy. Here's the thing about for women, which it's a more of an advanced practice because I think a lot of women are just like happy when they have an orgasm. It's harder for women, right? Yeah. It's more elusive. Like one thing happens and it's a disappearing orgasm. But I think it's great to practice like when you're masturbating, when you know you're going to get there and it's the same thing and you stop and then you build it up again and then it's much more, explosive, amazing. And then you can start to have full body orgasms. Mm. Sometimes when you just hold, I know a lot of men who've done that kind of practice where they just actually don't even ejaculate.
Right.
Like
just
hold on to the body. So that's what I was wondering if you were talking about.
There's definitely some tantra work in my future. I haven't tapped into it quite yet, but I know that it is something that I will study at some point soon. For me, I'm also like really at a point in my life where I'm understanding what the difference, and if there is one, really, between having sex with a man and a woman and someone in between the two, right? I think I'm opening myself up more to doing the work on understanding where those differences lie right now.
What would you say are the differences between having sex with a man and a woman?
On a basic level, it's just most of the time easier having sex with a woman because you don't prepare everything else. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a vagina, you know, naturally lubes. It's like, it's just, we're good to go. It's smooth sailing for the most part. And it can be that way with a dude. Just like, you have to get to that point. And just energetically, it's totally different, right? Like, granted, there are men that I've slept with that are extremely feminine, right? That is much more like having sex with a woman than it is having sex with a man. There are women that I've slept with that are extremely masculine, that like definitely dominate the entire experience. And it's a lot more primal, more like having gay sex.
Right.
And I've had sex with trans people that just, you know, fuck it all up and you're all confused on what's going on.
Right. It must be. So you've had sex with trans women?
Yeah, I have not had sex with a trans man.
Right.
I would love to have sex with a trans man at some point.
That should not be hard for you to find, right?
No, right. But I'm not
who's
like that
time? You're so busy.
But I'm also like not like being like, oh, hey, trans man, you want to have sex? Like that's like, I want to like fall in love with a trans man at some point.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you seriously, like you have these experiences where it's a blank slate. You're not like going through your phone going, oh, okay, I get laid tonight. Tonight I want to be with a less dominant female.
I gauge what I'm into based on the porn that I'm watching.
Oh, okay. What porn are you watching right now?
Well, I mean, I watch everything. The last couple of days, I've been watching straight porn.
Straight porn, okay.
Yes, but I mean, I've watched every type of porn that exists.
Do you always watch porn when you masturbate?
Not always.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going off, I got it. So you're at a straight thing. So then it's in your mind.
Right.
So the porn is dictating your sexual behavior.
In my head.
Okay.
It's not necessarily dictating like the type of sex that I'm having.
Right.
But I know that like if I'm dating a dude and I'm all of a sudden start watching straight porn, like something's going on.
Right. I'm wondering, as you're in these places with people, like, there must be something else that goes on. Because you're saying you don't do any overlap. Like, I could very easily see, like, I'm into this guy, but I just watched some straight porn. And so I want to go have sex with a woman right now.
Right.
But yet go back to the gay guy at the end of the week.
Not even necessarily gay, but bisexual.
Okay, bisexual. Sorry.
Yeah,
see,
no, it's
now
fine.
I'm already messing up.
No,
it's bisexual.
No, it's totally fine. I usually date gay men, not bisexual men. So.
Right. Well, why not bisexual men?
I've dated one bisexual dude. It was almost like we both knew too much about each other because we were both bisexual. I don't know. There was something about it that it was like, we have to go spread this message instead of giving it to each other type of thing.
Okay.
And that could have nothing to do with the fact that we were bisexual. Mm-hmm. It was just that we were similar people. But I don't know. Yeah, I haven't. I've only dated one other bisexual dude.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have a type, though, within each one of these?
No.
Not at all.
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who won't you date? Is there any traits that's like a turnoff for you, let's say?
Like physical traits?
I hate to do the physical thing, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, kind of though. Like, is there anything that it just, or something that you lean, how about what you lean towards more than not, rather than putting in a negative?
I lean towards men that are like brawny men, like baseball player looking dudes.
Right.
And historically, I like the women in my life to be like very much so pocket sized.
Cool. Yeah, baby. Okay. Love to know that. That's great. So sex, let's talk about sex, baby. So, okay, what about with women and men, the difference, we were talking about just like the cleanup, but what about just like for women and like foreplay? Like, what have you learned about having sex with women?
There's a softness about having sex with women that I'm really into. Just even like their skin, right? I am as attracted to like beautiful, supple, soft skin as I am to like a hairy fucking leg and like a soft face and like small lips compared to like a big dude's face with a big fucking beard. I can get down with both.
Right. And it really is just
where I am.
Wherever you're at in your life. That's just so fascinating. Is there anything that you've learned about women? I get it. You're with so many different kinds of women. But if you had to say there's like these certain things about women that is kind of a universal truth, even though we're all different.
Mm. We're talking sexually or
talking... Yeah, sexually.
I love eating pussy.
Awesome.
And I think all women love that.
Yeah, many do. I believe that many women do. And that for women, there's some women who really don't. Like, they're super sensitive
right.
And like just doesn't feel good. But I love that you love it because there's a lot of men who I think they just do it to get... It's a means to an end.
No.
And they
I
don't
love it. I could do it for hours.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great skill. That's like... That's the ultimate, I think.
Yeah.
Really. So enjoyed talking to Nico. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter at Nico Tortorella. Stay tuned for my interview with Jason Ellis. I'm here with Renaissance man Jason Ellis. He hosts his daily SiriusXM radio show. He's got a podcast called Ellistronics. He's an MMA fighter, skateboarder, amazing dad, and just an all-around sexy man. I'm so glad he's here today. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Emily.
So good to see you. How's your relationship? Because we talk a lot about sex. So when I first met you like a year ago on your podcast, you were with your girlfriend, now your wife.
Yeah. No, not yet. We're married August.
Because you guys are like an open relationship still.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get that crazy because we're allowed to. And the novelty is worn off. It's like we could have sex with everybody and everybody wants to have sex with us. Let's do that. Look, we're very stable. And we're super open and we have no fear when it comes. Like, obviously, make sure you don't have any diseases or anything. But once that's clear, we'll do anything with you.
Right.
And then the next day, there's no weird hang up. I don't care. Like, you're coming home with me and that's the end of it.
But how did you get to that place, would you say? In the past, you said your relationships weren't as healthy. But because we have a lot of questions, a lot of people ask us, should I be in a relationship? How does my wife get over jealousy? Or I'm jealous? Or how did you get to this place?
You just got to be comfortable with yourself and you got to trust your partner. And I mean, when I was younger, it never really worked. If people asked me, should I have a threesome? I would just say, honestly, if I have, because it's a stupid question, you should be asking me, you should ask yourself. But if you're asking me, I would say no, because if you're asking and then there's a little bit of hesitation, then you've got drama on your hands. And if you really love the person you're with, do you want to add drama to it so that you can have an extra pussy in the scene?
Because it doesn't solve anything, right?
It's not worth it. And it's kind of overrated.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I don't know. Like, I've had so many orgies and threesomes and dicks and pussies everywhere.
Right.
And probably one hand I can count the ones where I was like, that was amazing. And there was no backlash from it.
Right.
the rest
it's a
of
lot
them.
You got to be really right heading into these things. Yeah. Maybe it's part of the process. You learn from them. You know, each one, I guess you learn how to do it better. But you're right. People are like, that's like the holy grail because they just want something other than what they have.
That's
they
how
want
I
the
was.
Newness. They want something different. So it also comes with experiment. At age of 25, you couldn't have felt this way because you wouldn't have had all those orgies and pussies.
Well,
and
I also think you don't, you know, there comes like a, you know, wisdom. You know, when you're 25, you're like, maybe she does like him more than she likes me. Or, you know, a girl that I haven't slept with, like I want to have sex with her more than I want to have sex with the girl that I'm with because I've never had sex with this girl. And then the girl that I'm with is like, wait, you're paying too much attention to her. Do not do this.
Right.
If the girl's like, you're pumping that girl too much, then you shouldn't be pumping anybody.
Exactly.
Because that is, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's like, I want, if somebody's fucking my fiance really good, good. We didn't get into this for him to fuck her poorly.
Right.
Like,
that's such a healthy attitude. People don't understand that. And I
most guys want to have sex with a girl and another girl because they want to have sex with two pussies and feel like the king of the world. And they don't care what they have to do to drag their significant other into this thing. And a lot of sad stories are that the girl is okay with it to keep the man.
And that's not the best solution.
It's the worst solution.
The worst. So what would you tell a guy then? Because yes, not every guy's emailing me now about or calling is 45. They're like in their 20s. Can you have this wisdom then? Like, do you think that you would have known this? I mean, I'm telling couples all the time, wait till you're on solid ground. You don't have a threesome to solve your relationship. I'm always, you know, we talk about this on the show, but we're on the same page with this, but I don't know how else they're still going to want to do it. It's almost like you had to go through that. I can let people make their own mistakes, but I'm telling you now, if you love your partner and you're with them and you guys are in a good place, but you just need to spice things up, that's not the right way to do it.
No, it's a risky move, to say the least.
Guys are like, even girls when they're bachelorette parties, they're like, this is why I'm doing it because I can never tell my partner again. They have this idea that once they get married, that's when they stop experimenting and stop doing all the stuff that's crazy and fun and exciting, but it doesn't have to be that way.
It's the opposite.
Right.
I'm going to get wild one more time before I get married and spend the rest of my lame life with you? Like, wait, what?
Right. It's like, I don't know where that comes from either. Religion, society, no one's talking about this, really.
I think it's because we talked about it today. I think it's because when people got married when they were younger and it was like, maybe it is too soon. And when you get married, you are giving up your life. Things have changed now. You get married when you're older, a little more stable. This is not the end of it for you.
No.
You know, this is not the end of the road. This is the beginning. I think if you're 20 and you're going to get married, you know, and you're under the impression that this is the only person you're going to have sex with for the rest of your life when you're 20, that's some harsh shit.
I know.
I might want to get drunk and have sex with a prostitute too. That sounds like terrifying.
I just say people shouldn't get married before 30 at least.
I agree. Completely.
Right? Like, why? You don't know yourself, but they don't know that they don't know themselves. And they think that they're so in love.
Yeah, it's the first thing I say. I mean, Rocky, I'm not sure what to do. I'm like, how old are you? And if it's under 30, it's hard for me not to laugh at them.
Right. Do you get these questions on your show?
You don't understand a really lover. I'm like, you're 25. You don't even know what really loving anyone is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a mistake, but you know, people have to go through their own things.
That's
they
right.
meet someone, they learn, and they're like, oh, now I
the
really
hard way.
Know.
Sometimes that's the only way you learn.
It is. Well, I love it. You seem like you're, you know, in a good place. So you guys are not, can we go back to your sex life for a minute? So we were talking about, I love your sex. Even if it's right now, you're still there.
No, we didn't have sex for maybe 2 weeks before the fight. We played around a little bit, but no actual, in the end, it was like, maybe we could, in the last 2 weeks, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to actually come. I'm just going to hold it off. Cause I just felt super low in sex drive. So that told me, and this could be, I'm not a doctor. I felt like if I'm super low in sex drive, then my testosterone is being tapped to the max. So I'm not going to lose anything. And then I had this theory that if I get, an erection a bunch of times, see some hot shit, look at my girl from a different angle, get her friends to like take their tops off, get a boner and then leave and go to the gym. That's building more testosterone.
Right.
I'm farming more testosterone.
So that's what you would do. You'd come to the point of
not close to orgasm, but
you just get turned on and then you go to the gym.
Yep.
Ah, it's like having a cup of coffee, but better in a way.
Like something like that. I just keep adding it.
I get it. Okay, I want to talk to you about masturbation real quick because it's masturbation month and we had a bunch of questions that came in. So here's the thing. Okay, so everyone, what Jason is talking about, he just came in. He's been knocked out. He won a huge fight last weekend. We didn't. What was the name of your fight?
It was a King of the Cage fight.
Okay.
It's like
It was huge. And it was like, you got knocked out at the beginning. You came back.
I got knocked out.
I don't even want to talk about it because it's like a chick talking about sports. I suck at it. But you did something awesome and
you
came back.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So proud of you for that.
Thank you.
But masturbation, so when, think back before the fight, before the training, how often do you masturbate?
Well, I masturbate in the steam room all the time because guys try to jerk me off or whatever. So there's that kind of thing that happens.
Which
steam
room?
But I don't finish myself off. I don't really want to say the actual steam
room. Okay, got it. Right. Okay. You're right. Well, maybe you'll get a lot more blowjobs.
I get a lot of blowjobs.
You do? And you just don't even know.
I'm the hottest person in. It's like
you
being a pretty girl. I know what it's like, kind of, to be an attractive lady.
Right, right.
Because when I go there, everybody shits a brick. And I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
It's kind of great.
But how can anybody, you know what I mean? I'm a chewed up man. It's kind of weird.
But
when you walk around there,
because
I have a very straight.
Large penis.
Well, that too. But I have a straight, and I'm uncut. And that seems to be a thing that gay guys love as well. There's like I have all the things that a gay guy's really into. Being straight, they love that.
Right.
Having a big dick, it's uncut. All those things. And I look buff. I got a lot of tattoos. I look like a warrior of sorts. Gay guys love that shit.
Love it.
So there's just a constant, like, I get like a little harem of gay guys following me into different steam rooms, like trying to jerk off in front of me and stuff. And I'm just I am like a stuck up pretty lady. Like, I don't touch anybody. I just sit there. And then
they're like, can I give you,
Yeah. And then I'll like maybe let somebody jerk me off or maybe blow me if you're lucky, like a stuck up little bitch.
Dude, and this was not you a year ago.
No, I mean, it might have been, I just didn't tell anybody.
Okay, right. But now you've come out, you got sober. I mean, this is like the whole, what an amazing transformation.
I'm allowed to.
I know.
This story,
and Katie,
this story gets told to my fiance when I get home from it. So this is no.
See, this is what we're saying, is that you shouldn't get married to someone that you can't share all these stories with.
That's
and
right.
People are like, but I couldn't, but you can. You really can find someone that would be, I've yet to. I haven't really been looking for it, but now it's a longer story about what I want. But I get that this is what I would want. I don't want any secrets. I don't want to cheat.
Right.
I used to cheat.
It's hard. Like, I mean, I was squeezed to tell the truth. I felt like even when she was like, you can tell me anything, I was like, I don't, not this one. I mean, you got to admit, the story I just told you right then, I don't think a lot of women find me attractive when I say that.
About what the men
about me? You're saying that.
And
that's cool.
But it's sexy when you say it.
See, I
get it. The women might.
You know
not.
What I mean?
Dude,
but my fiance thinks that it's hot, and we laugh about guys that, you know what I mean, I'll be like, this guy came in and had like a giant dick and just sat in the corner, and she's like, because she loves the Tom of Finland stuff. She's super into the gay guy with the big buff gay guys that wear like leather chaps and stuff. She's kind of a gay guy. That's why it works out. But if there's anybody that's really big in there, I'll tell her the story when I get home, and she just thinks that it's the funniest shit ever, and we laugh about it.
Right. That's awesome. And she's with women and men.
Mm-hmm. She made out with I was making after my fight. One of my friends, she's in porn. She got her tongue cut, so it's like a snake. And I made out with her. That was all we did. We made out with her. She's got a split tongue. It's so hot.
She's got it split.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Like a serpent. Her tongue goes like this.
But she cut it so it would do that.
Yeah.
I've kind of heard about
this. And then stitched up so it's permanent like that. And she can make both like sides move around stuff.
That's fucking crazy.
I know. I'm going to get a blowjob from her.
You did or you're going to? It's on the list.
I did. There was people in the room. It was an inappropriate time. But it's coming.
Okay. I believe that. I believe that you could probably get a blowjob.
She said she would.
Which is a pretty good place to be in the world.
But by a serpent.
Dude, I don't know anyone else who's done that.
It's so metal, right?
Yeah, dude. Right. I mean, I don't even know. But you're happy and getting lots of blowjobs, and I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, let's go to those questions on the there was some good – you can help me with this because I don't have a penis. Hi, Emily. Love your show. I enjoy listening and get a lot of helpful tips to make my sex life way better. I got a question. My girlfriend and I really want to have a threesome, and we're talking about it, and we're getting really excited. We've never had a threesome before, and I'm going for she comes first, which is the whole thing I talk about on the show. She has to come first, which makes sex life great. How can I get into threesomes without giving one the feeling of being neglected? I want this to be a nice, relaxing time with lots of fun and no jealousy. What can we do? Thanks. Regards, George from Germany. We kind of touched on this earlier, but you are the threesome. I think we had a threesome once. You don't even remember. That's how many you've had.
We didn't. Say that about.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Ridiculous.
So, but you've had a lot. And so this is like the kind of questions we could ask. We've been talking about it. We're both kind of excited. I think there's another question here, like another girl's, his wife's not so excited. But anyway, let's say they are both. Let's say for the sake of this question, they're both really excited. They're on board. They've covered all the ground. They've set the rules. Mm-hmm. They've set the, you can't kiss her or whatever.
Can I kiss?
I don't know. People make these rules. You can't have sex. I know. Because when you're in the moment, you want to do it all.
It's a threesome. No, everyone has mouths and vaginas and buttholes.
Lots of orifices.
Everyone's
going to gonna
touch everything.
I gotcha.
Well, the first rule of threesome club is that if you're the person that is the guest in this threesome, and I'm assuming there's a man and a girl here and then another girl, the other girl is last. She's the girl that doesn't get as much attention as your girl. Your girl gets the most attention. So you need to remember that at all times. And the second one would be, you need to make sure that there isn't a situation where one of them is sitting there out of the game. You need to make sure that they're both in play at all times.
How do you do that?
I mean, you've got a penis and a mouth. You know what I mean? So I always have a pussy connected to one of them.
Right.
So,
right. Okay.
Or they're connected with each other and you're organizing that. And you can like tickle their, the bits that they have free.
Right.
But you're definitely, it's
not about your penis.
No. You're the only one there that has one. So of course it's going to be about you in the end.
By default.
Yeah.
But in your brain, you got to prioritize.
You get too giddy. Guys get giddy and they start slamming into one of them and they can't use their hands or their mouth because their penis is busy. And that's a game that you need to learn quick. And you also need to not come. You need to make sure that they come at least once each before you even think about it.
Right.
I feel like you need an athletical penis. You need to be like, have you girls had enough orgasms? And then the end of the threesome is when you come.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, I mean, a guy that can come and then keep it up. I don't know that guy because usually there's a break there.
Right. So there's a refractory period for men, a little longer. Those are great rules. And also I tell, you know, they establish rules ahead of time, meaning, or even are we truly comfortable with this? And some couples say, like, I don't want her to sleep over, or I don't want you to have penetration.
No, you don't want her to sleep in the bed, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to sleep in the bed. Figure all that stuff out. And then that's a great answer. I agree that you got to prioritize. That's how she get jealous. If you're kissing this girl for 1 second longer, she's going to be pissed at you. It's a good answer. Okay, Emily, thanks for making a space where sex can be talked about in a way which is healthy, safe, and fun. I've been musing over whether or not an open relationship is a good or bad decision. My wife and I have been married for about a decade. Our sex life has definitely started to flatline. My brain, on the other hand, is wired for new experiences, not necessarily with other people, but new experiments in the bedroom that light my brain on fire. Plus, my sex drive seems to be quadruple hers. I think we've had healthy conversations about this, but she's hesitant to try new things. At one point, she suggested an open relationship, but she retracted. Our situation is causing some tension. An open relationship might release that for both of us, but I also don't want to treat the symptom and not the deeper problem, which might be a lack of sexual connection with my wife. Two questions. Are there ways to help make an open relationship healthy and more comfortable for her? And are there things we could do better to connect sexually? Thanks, Denzel, 29, Minneapolis. Yeah, he can't push this one. You can't push an open relationship on your partner. She's not on board. It's not just like a threesome.
Or anal.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. You actually can't push any of these things on your partner. You're not going to talk her into it. You'll regret it. She won't really be on board. So I'm going to answer your, because it's going to go wrong. Right? Have you ever been in situations, Jason, in your past relationships where you tried to force open relationships they didn't want it or swinging?
Yes.
It didn't work, right?
I've done everything incorrectly. That's how I know how to do it.
That's why you're
correctly.
The epitome of health right now.
Yeah.
You can't make an open relationship healthy and comfortable for her unless she wants to do it. So you're not going to convince her. She's hesitant. She's gone back and forth. You love your wife. You want to stay together. So I can answer your question, what can we do to better connect sexually? Because that's where the problem is. Going out, having a threesome, open relationship, that's not going to heal your relationship. That's not going to feel better. You're going to go have sex with people. And I'm telling you, it will not. And your wife probably won't because she's not feeling like she's having sex right now. It's not going to work. But to connect sexually, you got to just start first you got to start talking about it with her, like really like communicating with her. Because really it's about enhancing intimacy. So if you guys have never talked about sex and there are so many couples who just don't know how to talk about sex. It's not comfortable for them. We never learn the language how to talk about. We think it's like this, it should be amazing. And when it's not, we don't know what to say. And then we cheat. We want to have a threesome, whatever. But you got to say like, babe, I love you. I love our relationship. Let's put that open relationship, take that off the table and let's talk about us. You know, she might not even know what turns her on. You can go to a sex toy store. You can watch porn together. You can just talk about some hot sexual moments you've had together. Because I don't know what level your wife is at. So you could even take sex off the table. If you guys are like—
Might be a good idea to do that, actually.
Right? And then start like exploring each other again.
She's just going to think that's all you care about. That it's all about sex. You have to talk about everything else but that. You have to be her friend again. And
right?
then
A lot of girls say that they're not into sex or into certain things when it comes to in the bedroom because they don't know about it and they'd rather just deny that they were even interested in it in the first place, I find.
Yep.
But if you get on their good side and then it's sort of like you're doing it together as a team and they're like, well, maybe I would like to initiate some stuff because now you're not going to be ridiculed for attempting to discuss something that in the bedroom that you're usually you'd be like, whoa, I didn't know you'd be into that kind of stuff. Like I think girls get weird about.
Yep.
That they don't want to be the first person to bring it up. They don't want you to think that you're freaky in the bedroom because freaky in the bedroom has been related to you're a slut.
Right.
And they don't want to sound slutty.
It's so bad for women because it's like we can't win because then we're like if we're super slutty, then people call us slutty, which is so wrong. I mean, and then if you like you're not having any sex at all and you're prude, like it just there's no end to this. There's no right end for women except just to like do you and figure out what makes you feel
like
good.
Being super romantic and all that stuff. That was awesome. is the way is the only way. Like if you're super understanding, romantic, and you do things that she would never see coming that doesn't involve your dick, then other things like that, maybe later on they come later or maybe they don't, but I guarantee your relationship will be better.
Right. I mean, there's something going on after 10 years together.
He's only 28 too. He's like, come on.
He's 29. So yeah, there's some things that are harboring. You're probably like, she's upset about some things. She doesn't even realize it. Who knows what's been happening? So you guys got to unearth whatever is holding her back from this intimacy. And then when I say take sex off the table, what I meant was also I like the idea of the romantic gestures, but like say like, let's just start with the foreplay again. Let's start making out. Let's start doing exploring each other's bodies, the rod and stones again and build up to like how great it was at the beginning. You can bring that back.
Girls really love when you don't just go for the pussy.
Yes.
I can't believe how long it took me for me to figure this one out, but you can do stuff to them where you kiss them and kiss their neck and like tickle their legs and their feet and stuff and don't touch their pussy.
Right.
Don't touch their tits. Don't touch too close to their asshole. Like you could touch their butt, but even that, you're getting too close. But you can go every now and then if you go near their belly, which is near their vagina, you back off again. All those ones
teasing.
Go, yeah, but I just wouldn't, I would never know, which makes me feel like a lot of guys don't. It's like, yeah, it's like we're making out. Okay, the making out is getting pretty serious. So I should probably start grabbing your pussy.
Exactly,
yeah?
Dude.
No?
I've been talking about this for 12 years. I'm like, don't go straight for it. So
yeah.
how did you learn this just from?
I learned, this is cheating, but I learned from a lesbian friend of mine that was super into my girlfriend. And would do this stuff. And it was the first time she told me about it, I was insulted. I didn't like that she was telling me what I should do with my fiance, with my girlfriend at the time that would make me better in the bedroom. I'm like, I know how to fuck my girlfriend,
this
bitch. Like, you don't know.
Right.
But then I started applying it. It turns out she was spot on because girls know girls. It's like guys know how to suck dick as well.
Right.
Sorry.
No, we know, we want the teasing. And I think that guys, when I say this to them, I've said this for a million times, like the last thing we want is when we're making out for you, go right for it. And this still happens with men that I've been with all ages. And I love that you finally learned this. And so it's more like the teasing thing. You realize that's what we're talking about, arousal. That will build. And in fact, you'll have to do less work in the end because she's so freaking turned on. You want her like being like, I need you to touch me right now.
That's how you get it.
I love that you learned this. Hope you like my interview with Jason Ellis. Find him at Wolfmate on Instagram and EllisMate on Twitter. So tell me this. Did you hear a tip or a trick or a conversation that you just know your friend or family member or colleague would just love? Well, how about listening with them? Listening with your partner to learn something new. I'm always learning, aren't you? Subscribe to Sex with Emily for more sex, dating, and relationship advice. You can find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.